Cleaning methods. All necessary stakeholders should have access to the resources and information they need in order to correctly and appropriately maintain the facility and its equipment. Cleaning and disinfection policies, processes, and product information should be contained in the facility's IPC plan. The IP should work in consultation with the EVS department to develop this portion of the plan, which includes the environmental cleaning and disinfection schedule, equipment cleaning policies and requirements, a list of approved cleaning and disinfecting products, information on the storage of clean, sterile supplies, enhanced cleaning and disinfection guidelines, example, for outbreaks. The IP should also work with EVS to develop proper procedures for routine cleaning and disinfection of environmental surfaces, especially high-touch surfaces and common areas. Sometimes, a medical facility may outsource cleaning and disinfection procedures to a contractor. In such cases, the IP should verify that they perform as stipulated, that is, the procedures, chemicals, safety measures, and schedules are being maintained. Whether cleaning is done with in-house personnel or outsourced, the IP is responsible for ensuring that the chemical agents used in their healthcare facility are used correctly, according to the IFU, and have been approved for infection prevention. Implementing improvements in environmental cleaning and disinfection is an important part of preventing the transmission of pathogens and reducing HAIs. These improvements may include product substitutions, increased or additional staff education, better monitoring and feedback processes, and altering existing schedules. Key point, in casual conversation, cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization are often used somewhat interchangeably. However, in healthcare they have distinct meanings, and the IP must understand the differences between them and convey these differences to relevant staff, both during and after training. Cleaning. Cleaning is the physical removal of dirt, bodily fluids, or other organic matter from a surface or piece of equipment. It is the required first step in any disinfection process because any soiling or organic material may interfere with the effectiveness of any disinfection or sterilization procedures. Cleaning surfaces and equipment prevents the drying of blood and tissue, easier to clean. Reduces the bioburden and removes foreign materials. Reduces the possibility of spillage or aerosolizing contaminants into the environment. It is important to emphasize that cleaning does not necessarily remove all pathogens from a surface. Rather, it reduces the number of potential pathogens to the point that their presence is unlikely to cause harm. A clean surface cannot, therefore, be presumed to be disinfected or sterile. Cleaning is accomplished through a combination of water, applied friction, elbow grease, and detergents, with or without an enzymatic component. Cleaning may be either a manual or a mechanical process. These are discussed later in this module. In Guideline for Disinfection and Sterilization in Healthcare Facilities, the CDC recommends using a neutral or near-neutral pH detergent solution for cleaning procedures. This is because such solutions are compatible with most surfaces. They are less likely to corrode or otherwise damage instruments. For the cleaning of organic soils, for example, blood or pus, enzymes may be added to the detergent solution. Protease to remove proteins, lipases to remove fats, and amylases to remove starches. If manual cleaning includes the use of enzymatic cleaners, the CDC states that the instruments used must be rinsed to remove any residual enzymes, which can cause adverse reactions. Key point: cleaning and rinsing is the most important step in the medical equipment reuse process. Thorough pre-cleaning is required for all equipment before high-level disinfection and sterilization. Disinfection. Disinfection is the process by which many or all pathogenic microorganisms, except bacterial spores, are eliminated on inanimate objects. Disinfection processes involve liquid chemicals or wet pasteurization. Depending on the method of disinfection and the solution used, a number of factors may affect its efficacy, including the following, as identified by the CDC, whether the instruments were properly cleaned beforehand. How much organic/inorganic material, contamination, remains after cleaning. Whether the correct concentrations, temperatures, exposure times, and solution pH are used. The physical nature of the object, that is presence or absence of hard-to-reach crevices. Whether biofilms are present. Key point: some products are designed to both clean and disinfect in one step. HCP must follow the manufacturer's IFU for product application and contact time when using such products. Disinfection is not sporicidal. That is, it does not destroy bacterial spores on surfaces. That said, the CDC reports in its guideline for disinfection and sterilization in healthcare facilities that some disinfectants will kill spores if surfaces receive prolonged exposure to certain chemical sterilants, 3 to 12 hours, though this depends on the level of contamination. Many of the potential issues that arise from these factors may be avoided or mitigated by ensuring that all staff working with disinfecting chemicals are educated on their proper use, per IFU. Key point: it is important to remember that, when dealing with a large amount of blood or other bodily fluid, surfaces must always be cleaned first and then disinfected. Residual organic matter, such as blood or other bodily fluids, can inactivate disinfecting agents. While disinfectants kill specific types of organisms, they do not produce sterility, no matter how strong the solution is or how frequently they are used. When cleaning non-critical equipment and surfaces, bleach solutions should be used only in accordance with IFU and in situations where it will not cause damage. If non-critical items and surfaces are contaminated with blood or other bodily fluids, they should be cleaned and disinfected using Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, approved products with an HIV or HBV label claim. For large blood spills, the CDC has reported that a 110 solution of EPA-registered hypochlorite solution inactivates bloodborne viruses and can minimize the risk of infection to HCP during cleanup. Biofilms. Certain microorganisms may be protected from disinfectants due to biofilms, a thick mass of cells and extracellular materials that can form on surfaces immersed in liquids and produce a continuous source of contamination. Bacteria found in biofilms can be up to 1,000 times more resistant to antimicrobials than when found in suspension. Biofilms may form in contact lenses, pacemakers, urinary catheters, endoscopes, and many other medical devices found in healthcare facilities. They may also form in showers, baths, whirlpools, and sinks if not cleaned properly. Biofilms found in channels, grooves, or hinges of devices are especially difficult to remove. Bacteria and fungi, including species of Candida, protected by biofilms have been associated with an ever-growing list of infections, and they pose a serious risk to immunocompromised individuals. Thus, biofilms must be considered when developing cleaning and disinfection policies. No enzymatic detergents have been registered or cleared for the degradation of biofilms, but studies are ongoing. To date, chlorine and monochloramines are the most effective disinfectants for inactivation of biofilm bacteria. The best way to prevent the formation of biofilms is to promptly clean and disinfect devices, per IFU. High-level disinfection and sterilization are the most effective. Levels of disinfection. Disinfection can be further categorized as high-level, intermediate, and low-level. The level of disinfection called for typically depends on the item's Spalding classification. Exhibit 5-17 offers a comparison of the three levels of disinfection. Exhibit 5-17. Methods for disinfection of resident care items and environmental surfaces. Types of disinfecting agents. The CDC's guideline for disinfection and sterilization in healthcare facilities identifies 11 types of disinfecting agents, each with distinct properties and applications. Exhibit 5-18 compares the different types of disinfectants. Exhibit 5-18. Types of disinfecting agents. Mark McInnes, Disinfectant Pros and Cons, Hydrogen Peroxide vs. Quats, Cleaning and Maintenance Management, May 6, 2019, comeonline.com/articles/disinfectant-pros-and-cons Hydrogen Peroxide vs. Quats. It is important to note that disinfectants are not interchangeable. Ensuring that the correct agent is used in the correct amount, solution or volume will avoid unnecessary costs and also protect the user and residents. IPs must be familiar with the applications and factors that can affect disinfection processes. These factors may be either product or process related. Disinfectant product related factors refer to the effectiveness against certain organisms. For example, many products have no activity against spores, as is made clear in the table above. Varying contact times. The length of time a product must be used to be effective depends on the chemical ingredients, the method of delivery, and the organisms against which they are used. Level of cleanliness. If the surface to which a disinfectant is applied has not been cleaned properly, then residual/remaining organic matter can decrease the effectiveness of disinfecting agents. Disinfectant resistance. There are some concerns that organisms may develop resistance to certain disinfectants through mutations. This is not the same as antimicrobial resistance, and there is no evidence that correlates antibiotic susceptibility with disinfectant resistance. Given the nature of many disinfecting agents and the risks posed by prolonged or unprotected exposure to them, it is essential that manufacturers' IFU are followed in addition to all other proper safety precautions, for example, wearing appropriate PPE and preparing solutions in well-ventilated areas. Facilities should use only EPA-approved, hospital-grade disinfectants. The IP should familiarize themselves with the different types of disinfecting agents as well as when and where they are best used. The IP should also educate themselves and staff on the correct PPE to wear and the necessary precautions to take when preparing and handling disinfecting chemicals and solutions. In consultation with the EVS staff, the IP must establish appropriate schedules and procedures for disinfecting different surfaces and instruments. Sterilization. Sterilization is the process by which all forms of microbial life are destroyed or eliminated. In healthcare facilities, it is achieved through physical or chemical methods. Sterilization involves several processes, each with distinct steps and requirements as listed below. Point of use. Pre-clean instruments to prevent biofilm buildup. Transport. Transport an appropriate container labeled biohazard. Keep instruments moist during transport. Cleaning/decontamination. Remove infectious material from instruments and protect workers from contamination. Preparation and packaging. Prepare and correctly package instruments to ensure adequate sterilant penetration to all surfaces. Sterilization. Correctly load instruments to be sterilized, choose the correct sterilization process and cycle, and correctly unload sterilized instruments to ensure an effective sterilization process. Sterilization process monitoring. Monitor the sterilization process to detect equipment or operator errors or malfunctions that prevent sterilization. Storage. Prevent microbial contamination of sterilized items. Members of the sterile processing staff are responsible for following the healthcare facility's policies and procedures as well as written IFU from the instrument, packaging, and sterilizer manufacturers. Sterilization processes are not commonly conducted at LTC facilities because they often lack the capability to perform them. However, LTC facility staff must be able to store, transport, distribute, and use sterilized products. The IP is responsible for providing appropriate education and training. Sterility of sterile packages and peel pouches is event-related. Sterility can be maintained almost indefinitely, unless the integrity of the package is compromised. However, if instruments are sterile from the manufacturer, then the manufacturer's expiration date must be followed. Staff should also follow the sterilizer equipment manual for care and maintenance to minimize sterilizer downtime and prevent sterilizer malfunctions. When operating a sterilizer, the sterile processing staff, along with biomedical engineering personnel, are responsible for care and maintenance of the sterilizer. The sterile processing staff are also responsible for loading the sterilizer, choosing the correct sterilization cycle, monitoring the effectiveness of the process, documenting the results, and unloading the sterilizer. The IP should include instructions for storing and handling sterile medical equipment and supplies as part of any education/training program so that product damage, contamination, and pathogen transmission can be avoided. Sterilization training programs should also cover the following information. Storage. Sterile products should be stored in a clean, climate-controlled utility room in a manner that avoids contamination. Example, at least 3 feet from sinks, 8 to 10 inches from the floor, 18 inches from the ceiling, and at least 2 inches from outside walls. Stock rotation. To ensure that sterile products with expiration dates are used in a timely manner, stock should be rotated. This avoids waste and potential adverse effects to residents. Organization. Sterile products should be stored in dedicated areas, shelves, carts, or cabinets, ideally enclosed. Policies and procedures. Storage areas must remain uncompromised. As such, doors should never be propped open, and access may need to be restricted to designated staff members.